What we just heard and what I just proclaimed in the gospel is very shocking, or at least it should shock us. And I'm not sure how much we realize how provocative and shocking the statement that Jesus just made in the end was. When Jesus says, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing," I bet, and I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see this, I bet the looks on people's faces would have been quite something to behold. Now, the context behind this is that Jesus returns to Nazareth. He returns from Galilee to Nazareth, his hometown, and he enters the synagogue. He reads the scroll that's given to him from the prophet Isaiah, and I'll just read that one more time. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." And so the Jews of Jesus' time would have heard this, and they would have heard this as a futuristic message, that someday the Messiah is going to fulfill this passage. But then after Jesus reads it and returns the scroll to the attendant in the synagogue, he says that he is the one who fulfills it. And that would have been completely unexpected by the people that are in the synagogue. It would have been quite shocking for them to be able to hear that statement. And yet, Jesus does do all of these things. He does fulfill these things. He sets captives free, both physically and also those that are spiritually bound. He does heal the blind, those that are physically blind, but also spiritually blind too. He does free those who are oppressed by their circumstances, giving physical freedom, or those that might need spiritual interior freedom to undergo hardships. Jesus fulfills all of these things throughout Scripture with all the different people that he encounters, proclaiming the kingdom of God and showing his power, fulfilling the mission that he has come to do as the Son of God. But it's not just that Jesus did this a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, something that's in ancient history. He is still continuing to do this. He still comes to us, and he gives us that freedom that we need. And it's proclaimed to us at every Holy Mass that we attend. In fact, the first reading that we hear from the prophet Nehemiah, it gives us an example of how the liturgy of the word would have occurred in the Old Testament, where people would have been gathered around to hear the saving word that is given to them by God. And at the end, they are encouraged to rejoice because the Lord is their strength. And for many of them, they're actually very sad because there's a lot of political oppression that is happening at this time, a lot of very difficult circumstances for the Jewish people that they're facing. But they're reminded that God is working in their lives. It doesn't mean that he's going to eliminate all suffering, all obstacles that are in their way of being able to worship him, but he's with them to strengthen them. And that's why we proclaim God's word whenever we come to Holy Mass. That's why we hear his word. We come here to listen to God's saving power in history, what we call salvation history. It's a word that is living and effective, as St. Paul tells us. Because his story, the story that God is proclaiming to us, doesn't just speak to people a long time ago, it also speaks to us now. It speaks to our hearts. It comes to liberate us. It gives us strength. It's fulfilled in our hearing. And that fulfillment comes when we receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. In fact, it finds its complete fulfillment there. He comes to us to be able to bring that fulfillment, to bring that freedom that we need. So what exactly is that freedom? How are we given that freedom? Well, if we know that the Lord is continuously with us and that he gives us strength, then that means that he is actively working in all aspects of our lives, no matter what circumstances, no matter what difficulties, no matter what we may be facing in our lives. Again, it doesn't mean that the Lord gets rid of the struggles and the difficulty, because he's using those things for our good. And we need to be constantly reminded that he has a plan, that his will is being fulfilled in our lives. Another way to look at it is that we are called to live a life in the Holy Spirit. The life of the Spirit builds up the body of Christ. We hear about this in our second reading, where St. Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what we call charisms: apostles, prophets, mighty deeds, teachers, healing, administration, varieties of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And these gifts, among the many others that are mentioned throughout Scripture, build up the body of Christ, because every person has a charism, has a gift that they can offer in the body of Christ. Just as different parts of the body fulfill different functions for us, like the nose and the eyes are all important to the body as a whole, so the gifts of the Spirit are important to the body of Christ as a whole. In the body, there are weaker parts, there are stronger parts, but they all need to be built up. And when one person suffers in the body of Christ, we all suffer in some way. Just like when one part of our body hurts, it affects the rest of our body. And so everyone has a charism that is gifted to them. And we believe that everybody is valuable in the building up the body of Christ. And that's unique to the church. Now, everyone has a unique dignity just by their creation, the fact that they exist. Our dignity doesn't just come from what we do. But the fact that we receive these gifts of the Spirit also provides a certain amount of dignity for us. This is not something that society views as necessarily a good thing. Not everyone is viewed as valuable or useful in society. And even in St. Paul's time, when he's writing this in the Roman Empire, not everyone would have been considered valuable or useful. Only certain classes of people would have been considered valuable. But the Lord uses everyone. He uses all of the baptized, everyone, to build up his kingdom, to be able to show his glory. It's not that the Lord needs us necessarily. God can do all things. He is all powerful, after all. But he chooses to use us as his instruments to bring about his kingdom here on earth. And so those charisms can be important. Now, there's a couple things about them. Charisms can be one-time gifts that we can receive. For example, I can have a prophetic utterance that I might feel from the Holy Spirit to tell someone that might just be a one-time occurrence. Or charisms can be continuous gifts that can be given to us by the Lord, that can show again his glory through us. And all the gifts that St. Paul mentions are like that. Now, they need to be discerned, they need to be prayed about and discerned through our experience. And there's lots of resources that can help us with that process. But it's important for us to think about, what are my charisms? And to ask the Lord to show, you know, how does he want you to build up the body of Christ? How is he asking you to use the gifts that he has given you? So that way God's glory can be shown through you. But living the charisms of the Spirit also gives us something else. It gives us a great freedom. Because what we recognize through the charisms is that God's work is being done through us. He's using those charisms, whether it's a one-time occurrence that happens or a continual gift that he's using. He's using that to fulfill his work, to fulfill his will. And if we live in that, if we live in that life of the Holy Spirit and have confidence that the Lord is being fulfilled through us, that can mean a lot. It means that it's not just me that's doing these things, but it's allowing for us to rely on God. And it can give us a sense of interior freedom to know that no matter what may happen in our lives, if we are following the will of God, following the Spirit, following the charisms that he's given us, his will be done in all things. And that can be cause for great rejoicing in our lives. He's using those divine means for his divine plan. Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. We can believe that and should believe that. But the question is, do we and will we?